Hayden, unbelievable batting from Hayden Kerr, but the decision to have a runner, as well, not to have a runner, but retire Jordan Silk, how was that communicated on the boundary line?
Well, he went out to the short boundary in the hope that if he was on strike, he had that short boundary. If he batted at 9, he could have a runner. We sent him in at 8 to try and get a couple of boundaries in that last over. And then as soon as he wasn't able to face the ball and we needed that person to run, we knew he couldn't run, so we just thought we'd retire him and put out someone who can.
Yeah, so clearly within the spirit, clearly within the rules of the game, Peter Siddle was arguing the toss. If you'd been in Peter Siddle's position, would you have been saying the same thing?
I don't understand how so. I mean, they are clearly within the rules of the game. I mean, unfortunately, we had a guy go down with a hamstring, one of the fittest guys in the league, probably something to do with our schedule and the 5 flights in eight days and so many back-to-back games. I don't really see how that's, you know, we're trying to back up on with guys who are carrying little injuries and so on. And, I mean, he normally bats 5, so the fact that he's gone into bat at 8, I mean, I think we're sacrificing enough as it is.
So that was Moses on Reeks on Fox Cricket with Tommy Morris after the game last night. So no remorse, no regrets about the decision they made to take Jordan Silk out with a ball to go. The man that replaced him was Jay Lenton, assistant coach. Only found out about 1 o'clock yesterday he's going to have to play due to the COVID dramas with Josh Phillippe at the Sydney Sixers. And Jay's been good enough to join us this morning. Morning, Jay.
Morning, Jules. How are you?
Oh, well, how are you? Well, your head's probably still spinning.
It is, to be honest. I got to bed at about, I think I got told at 1 o'clock yesterday, and I got to bed about 1 o'clock this morning just looking at the ceiling going, what just happened?
Oh, before we go back to how yesterday unfolded for you, let's go to the incident that everyone is talking about, the fact that Jordan came out, you came in to run. What was the sort of discussions going on in the 3-4 balls prior to that decision being made, because you are also the assistant coach, so I'm pretty sure you would have been involved in the conversation.
Yeah, there was a fair bit going on, actually. It was, to be honest, it all happened very quickly. Sean was out, and all of a sudden I had to put the helmet on. I thought, oh, crap, I might actually have to bat here. So that was the first start of the over, and then obviously we contemplated whether we'd send Jordan out with his hamstring. I think the rule stated that he could bat 9 with a runner, so that's what we're trying to hold out for, because obviously his hamstring went quite badly during the fielding innings, and then all things happened quite quickly, and short boundary to the right-hander, as we saw in that last over, so the decision was made to send Jordan out. He tried, but it just shows the character, I guess, of Jordan, that he went out there and tried his hardest to run a couple of twos, and he could just see how much pain he was in, and the little maestro Shippy just got up and he pushed me to the rope and then stopped me at the rope and then pushed me again and was yelling. And yeah, so it all happened pretty quickly. But it was an interesting one. But again, Mo said it there in the interview beforehand. I don't think that there was anything untoward. It was within the rules, and Jordan was quite courageous to go out there in the first place.
Within the rules, definitely. But there's certainly a lot of people saying it was against the spirit of the game. Listening to the Fox commentators last night, initially, that was their feeling. Can you understand that argument at all, or do you think, hey, it's in the rules, so it's all fair game?
No, I can certainly understand where everyone's coming from, and everyone's got their own opinions on it. I just think it was probably something that was utilised within the rules and some pretty sharp coaching, to be perfectly honest, and captaincy to come up with that in such a big moment. Yeah, I think I haven't really heard other players or Sids from the strikers' post-match interviews, but they seem to be fine with it out there when I briefly went out there and heard the conversation between him and the umpire. So, yes, I can certainly understand what people are seeing and coming from, but I think it's actually a wonderful piece of coaching and captaincy.
He's pretty. He's got a sharp mind, hasn't he, Greg Shipper? And it shouldn't overshadow what was an amazing win. It's probably one of the best wins we've seen in the BBL, because with 5 overs to go, you looked in all sorts of trouble as a team. You got Hayden Kerr goes to the top of the order, smashes 98 not out off 58 balls. Sean Abbott got you back from the brink as well. I mean, what were you thinking with 5 or 6 overs to go? Did you think, geez, we've had some good wins, but I'm not sure we can pull this one out?
It was an interesting one. I think there's still a lot of faith. Obviously, Hayden's an opening batter, which is, I think, something that that not many out there in the general public know, unless you hear in Sydney playing cricket. Hayden opens the batting for Sydney Uni, and he's done this so many times. I've been fortunate enough to play a lot of cricket and captaining at second 11 level, and I've seen a lot of these innings that he's come up with. So there was always faith, and I think it was knowing that when we took the surge as well, gave us a little indication of who was going to bowl. And I know we had Short to come on and finish his spell, and then we had a couple other bowlers that were looking to target. So we'll certainly had plenty of faith. There was some times, I think it got to about 31 off 10, where it was looking a little interesting. But the way Sean was hitting him, the way Hayden was hitting him, anything was a chance and anything was possible.
So you went out there and you just had to run. The ball goes to Jono Wells in the field. If you gathered cleanly and got the throw in, were you back comfortably, or would it have been a bit of a stretch?
Absolutely no idea, to be perfectly honest. I was looking at one line to get there and make sure I didn't run one short, and I was getting straight back. I didn't even went. To be honest, I had no idea it went for four until we're walking around the ground at the end and we looked up and Hayden was on 98 and it said four on the scoreboard. So I couldn't tell you. If he picked it up and threw it, I was diving from halfway. I'm a pretty big guy, so there was plenty of thoughts about how I was going to run two going through my head.
So take us through your day yesterday. So assuming around about 12:30, you think it's just status quo, you're going there as the assistant coach for the Sixers. And just take us through what happened from there over the next couple of hours.
Yeah, it certainly was an interesting one. I kind of got winged in the morning that I may be playing with all things that had happened. But obviously there was quite a process to go through from Cricket Australia and the Cricket New South Wales staff and Sydney Sixers staff were working tirelessly around the clock to make things happen. I got the call at 1 o'clock and just said, look, you're in, you're playing. I think Chippy's words were, catch him in the middle of the gloves and be the hero of your moment. And that just shows how good Chippy is with little things like that. And we got to the game, we moved on from everything, obviously, to the, I don't think many cricket sides or any sporting sides have that many kind of hiccups or hindrances happen leading into a game, let alone a final. It just went from there. So I think that's a characteristic of this team and this squad. And looking from afar over the last couple of years, you kind of sit there and been a part of Thunder in the last couple of years and also been out of the BBL completely. It usually comes up that you say, geez, the Sixers just win from anywhere. That doesn't happen overnight. That's been created, and that was certainly on show yesterday.
So before last night, when was the last game that you played?
I had a hit for Manly. I was still first grade captain at Manly.
Yep.
So I played for Manly just before Christmas. I actually flew back morning of a Saturday morning from Melbourne whilst I was with the Thunder to come back and have a game. So that was just before Christmas. And then got the call up into the Sixer squad just after Christmas. So I missed a couple of games, probably 6 weeks since I've had a game, but started the season quite well personally. Scored a couple of hundreds earlier on the season and finished the end of last season quite well as well. So there was kind of no issue in that regard. And it's probably good that it all happened quite quickly.
So what happens now for the final? I mean, you had the three boys missing last night with COVID. Jordan Silk surely has no chance to play with that hamstring. Moses Henriques was limping around at the end. Steve O'Keefe was limping around. What's the lineup going to look like for the final?
Are you free, Jules?
You don't know, mate.
Free spikes,
mate, the scorches are absolute certainties if I'm playing.
No, to be honest, we're getting on a flight in half an hour, or we're going to the airport in half an hour. We're going to have a quick team meeting there at the airport just to discuss what's happening. I'm not too sure, to be perfectly honest with you. There's a lot of things going on, and I certainly don't envy those in the back room and the engine rooms at the moment trying to get all things sorted. They've done an incredible job, this Big Bash, all the people behind the scenes that you don't see, your team managers, those at Cricket New South Wales, the coaching staff that aren't seen. I could only imagine what it's been like for them the whole tournament, let alone this last week. So we really don't know. Everyone wants to play. Everyone's going to do whatever they can to play. And we'll just see what happens.
You'll be playing, won't you?
Again, great question. I'd love to. I believe Flips, Josh is probably out for a couple more days. So, yeah, I'm not sure, mate. I think I might be, but we'll see what happens.
We've heard from the club and we've heard from the captain, and a lot of people in Australian cricket have been surprised that Steve Smith hasn't been able to play. What's your thoughts on it? And do you think there's any chance he can play, given you've got further problems with player availability?
I think a lot's been said. Obviously, I'm probably not a person of high stature to get out there and say things as well. But I think it is probably a little bit of a loss for the Big Bash that one of the best batters, if not the best batter in the world, isn't playing in the tournament. I know it definitely suits nicely that he's a Sydney Sixer and he can come in and play this, but he hasn't played for a lot of clubs also. He's been a Sydney Sixer for life and this is his club. So, yeah, it is a little bit of a loss for the Big Bash, but after last night's fixture, hopefully that fun, that engagement and that life has been brought back into it leading to the final.
Yeah, certainly the last couple of games they've had everything you want from a BBL game. So how can you beat the Scorchers? I mean, last night was a fantastic result, as you mentioned, and all the things that were thrown at the team, as we've just said, you've got some further injury problems and the Scorchers have been, well, probably clearly in the second half of the year anyway, the outstanding team in the competition. Now, what gives you the belief that you can come down to Melbourne and knock the Scorchers off?
Look, we've had a few cracks at them this year already, which is certainly a good thing to lead into a final. That we've probably seen the majority of their squad. We've played a couple of games where they've had everyone. We've played a couple of games where they've had some missing. So, look, they're a wonderful team. We sat back kind of the other night. They played a wonderful game of cricket, and we kind of sat there in the dugout. And again, this is probably on the coaching staff side of things, and looked and said, well, Ashton Turner hasn't batted, Laurie Evans hasn't batted, Ashton Agar hasn't batted in this game. So they've got such good depth, and they are a quality cricket side. But I just think that our will to go down there on Friday with absolutely nothing to lose, we've got a bit of momentum coming in from this game, and we've just got a lot of belief. So we're certainly going to get on the plane in a couple of hours and with the belief that we can knock the Scorchers off. And it's finals cricket. The Sydney Sixers guys have been there quite a bit. They know what this is all about. So we've got plenty of belief that we can go down there and do the job Friday.
And one of the boys you played against last night, Ian Cobain, he's had such a good recent run of results that he's picked up a contract in Pakistan. If you have a big final, if you have a big innings, you might get a contract to play someone else. Has that gone through your mind?
To be honest with you, I was thinking about where I could go to the IPL as a winger next year. That I was hoping to get picked up. As I'm pretty good on the dog slinger, so if there's any franchises out there looking for a dog slinger, I'm your guy that can maybe fill in and keep every now and then.
There you go. You got to sell yourself. That's good. And if you confirmed to playing, how does that change? Does it change your role as an assistant coach at all if you're playing?
A little bit. It just means I'm probably not involved around the preparations as much of the players. Obviously, again, last night I was trying to focus on my own game, but there's also that, I guess, that intuition to go out there and throw balls to someone that you see that's usually you're the guy throwing balls to or hitting catches to. So it does change the preparation a little bit. I'm probably glad that it's only 2 days of two games as opposed to a week, because I might wang some balls and hit some myself and then go back and wang some balls. But it does change the preparation on game day.
Oh, well, we've seen just about everything in the last couple of years, haven't we, in world sport and the BBL, as you mentioned. And last night was just another chapter to the book that could be written on world sport during the COVID times. Jay, thanks for coming on this morning. Good fun chat and good luck. We hope to see you behind the stumps and good luck to the Sixers in the final. If it's anything like the last couple of games we've seen, it should be an absolute cracker.
No, it's going to be very exciting. Hopefully, there's a roof at Marvel. There's some pretty bad storms going through Melbourne at the moment. So let's hope that's closed and we have a great game of cricket tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think you're definitely going to be under the roof for sure. Jay, thanks again for your time, mate. Good luck.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.